Hey, what's up, Grace River? Chris here. Super excited that you're watching online at home today. Man, I'm glad that we have this technology and this ability to be able to broadcast online at home in the middle of this snowstorm. And I'm grateful to have you here today. So let's jump right into it. We've got some great things happening in the life of our church over the next few weeks. We have baptism happening next Sunday. And it's not too late to get registered for baptism. That's Sunday, February 1st. And so right around the corner next Sunday, and man, if you're on the fence or wondering, man, should I take this next step? If you know Jesus, you can take this next step. If you've never been baptized, stop waiting for perfection. Stop waiting till everything aligns in your life. This is a great opportunity. You can register today for baptism by going to our website at graceriver.cc/baptism. Also, small group registration starts this weekend as well. So you can jump into a small group. This is a great time to get connected and also meet some Christian friends that are going the same direction that you're going. We always say this at Grace River, we can inspire you in a row, but life change happens in a circle. And so you can register for small groups. There's a 13-week small group session that you're registering for by going to graceriver.cc/small groups. You can also visit graceriver.cc/info, and all the things that we're talking about today are actually going to be on that page, and so you can go to that page and see what's coming up in the next few months in the life of Grace River Church. Register for events, give online, serve and volunteer. You can do all of those things from graceriver.cc/info. Well, let's jump into this. Man, this has been a fun sermon series, The Life That You've Always Wanted. We actually conclude that sermon series today, and we're really going to talk about the life you've always wanted following Jesus. Because what we're going to find out is that without Jesus, we're never going to get the life that we actually always wanted. And so let's jump into this today. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 2. The Apostle Paul writes this: "Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God." Listen, I think it's important that we recognize who it is that we're imitating. And the big idea today is this: is the life you've always wanted is found by living the life that Jesus lived. Like, if you really want to live a fulfilled life, it's not going to come through culture. It's not going to come through money. It's not going to come through fame or success. It's going to come from living the life that Jesus lived. And you and I can follow his example. We can emulate this same kind of life. Really, the life that everybody wants is a life of peace, a life of purpose, a life of healthy relationships, freedom from anxiety. It's a life that has joy that lasts forever. It's a life that really matters. It's marked by something, right? And so today I want to give you really five reasons why we're not getting what we want out of life, and five things that we're sometimes doing that make us come up empty or dry. The first thing is we want Jesus as Savior, but not as our leader. I've mentioned this in the series and in past series before. I think it's easy to sign up for the life that you've always wanted, which is eternity with God in heaven. That seems pretty simple. Like, if it means that I can exchange this life of sin for this life of righteousness, if I can exchange all of the grief and remorse and the shame that I feel from my past for a future that's with God, well, why would I not do that? I think it's sometimes easy to sign up for this idea that Jesus is my Savior. But here's the reality. He's not just your Savior. He's also the leader and the Lord of your life. And I think sometimes we're missing the life that we've always wanted because we only get that first part. We understand that we need Jesus to be our Savior, but sometimes we're missing that second part. And that's the most challenging part, is Jesus being our Lord. If he's my Lord, that means he's my leader. That means he is the one calling shots. We often miss out on the life that we've always wanted because we're only benefiting from our salvation. We're not actually living out our salvation and saying, hey, I no longer call the shots. He does. The second reason is we're chasing comfort, not Christ-likeness. I think sometimes it's just easy to chase comfort. And right now, more than likely, you're in a pretty comfortable physical position. Maybe you're on your sofa, in a recliner, you're watching, maybe there's a fire going, and like, there's nothing wrong with comfort on a day like today whenever it's snowing out, and it's much better to be inside than to be outside. But I think sometimes when it comes to comfort, we choose that even as an extreme whenever we're following Jesus. We'll do the things that are kind of easy for us to do, But we won't do the things that are a little more challenging for us to do. Like, it's easy for me not to murder someone. That to me, that's an easy one, right? But what's more challenging for me is forgiving someone, you know? It's easy for me to be kind to people that are kind to me, but it's more challenging for me to be kind to people that are rude to me. And so we look at all of this and we can search Scripture, but the reality is that sometimes we're chasing comfort and not Christ-likeness. And if I'm going to emulate Jesus, if I'm going to really follow God the way I ought to follow God, I follow the example of my Savior. I imitate Him. You've heard it said before, the highest form of flattery is imitation. And so how would our lives look different if we actually imitated Jesus? And we didn't choose comfort, but instead we chose to be more like Christ. The third reason why we're not getting what we want out of life is we're being discipled more by culture than by Christ. We're allowing culture, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, TV, friendships, all of these things that have to do with culture, we're allowing those things to shape us instead of allowing Christ to shape us. And our decisions are being informed by all of these different things that are coming after us. And oftentimes, these things have nothing to do with Jesus. And we wonder why we're missing out on the life that we've always wanted. We're missing out because our aim is not Christ like it should be. And so that's the third reason. The fourth reason is we want the results of Jesus without the rhythm of Jesus. Like, the reason why we're missing the life that we've always wanted is, man, we look at what our lives could be, and we recognize that with Jesus, we know it's going to be better, but we're unwilling to create the rhythms that Jesus created. Pastor Jacob in this sermon talked about the rhythm of rest. Paul talked about the rhythm of relationships, right? I talked about purpose earlier in this series, and we look back on all of those things, and all of that represents a rhythm of Jesus. And I think sometimes we want the benefits of following Jesus, but when it comes to the sacrifice of, man, you mean that means that's going to change the way I view my week, the hours in my week, the time in my week, the efforts of my week, my financial resources, like all of those things are up for grabs whenever I say, I want the rhythms of Jesus, not the rhythms of culture. And the fifth thing is that we keep looking for life in the wrong places. We keep looking for life in places like success. We keep looking for life in places like work. We keep looking for life in the lenses of other people, trying to impress people. And at the end of the day, none of that brings us contentment. And what I want to focus on our limited time together today, I'm going to be shorter than normal, right? Because nobody said, man, I wish that guy would have talked longer on online church, right? But I think about the lens that we should look through. And what following Jesus really means. It's really four quick things I want to give you today on what it means to actually follow Jesus. But it really looks like letting God lead your life. And I know that is so remedial. But when was the last time you made a decision and you said, Lord, lead me. Lord, guide me. It's interesting because Jesus himself even did this. So if I'm going to follow his example, let's look at the words of Jesus here in Luke 22, verse 42. It says, Father, if you're willing, please take this cup of suffering from me, away from me, yet I want your will to be done, not mine. This is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, the night he's betrayed. He's getting ready to go to the cross, and he's actually begging God, if there's another way for salvation to be provided to these people, let's take that way. But the key line here at the end is, God, I want your will to be done, not my own. Man, that is significant. And when we pray, when we talk to God, when we're living our lives, there are things that we want. Like, we want our loved one to get better. We want the promotion. We want the pay raise. We want the accolades. We want that. But what if we prayed and had our hearts set on this idea that, what if I don't get my way? Like, can I still pray, Lord, your will be done? And man, there's some hard things that may happen to you this year. And I think it's really important for you to get the life that you've always wanted, to be able to know that, man, I may not get what I want, but I'm following the Father's will. Like, I'm allowing him to be the leader of my life. Ultimately, what Jesus was praying when he prayed this prayer was, Heavenly Father, lead me. And I think that's a very significant moment. Because here he is at the end of his life. He's actually under so much pressure that he's sweating blood. And he says, Father, lead me. I want your will, not my own. So that's the first thing I think we have to get to in our own lives. It's pretty big to come to this place where we say, hey, I'm just going to be obedient to what you're asking me to do. And there's something significant there. Because as we talk about baptism, as we talk about small groups, as we talk about like taking significant steps of obedience in your own life, whether that's forgiving someone, whether that's giving back to God, whether that's serving somewhere in the life of the church, like all of those things require obedience. And my encouragement to you is God is not going to give you more to be disobedient with. So it's important that you say, God, I want you, for you to get the life you've always wanted, for you to follow the example of Jesus in doing that, what it's going to require is you saying, God, I want you to be the leader of my life. The second thing it's going to require is this is loving people through serving. I think that there are people that you may like, and there are people like probably in your household that you love, but man, one of the greatest ways to emulate our Savior, one of the greatest ways for you to live the life that you've always wanted, it's going to actually come through this weird measurement of serving. I have found in my own life, the people that are the happiest people I know, there is a weird correlation between people that are happy and full of joy and the people that serve. Because what they realize is their time is not their own, right? Their talents are not their own. Their treasures are not their own. And they recognize that there's a Savior that's given them all of this. And that because of the grace and the goodness of God, they want to serve other people. Let's look at this. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. It says this, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus, if anybody had the right to say, serve me, you would think it would be the Son of God. But what's amazing is he takes the exact opposite posture and says, no, I'm actually going to serve others. The whole life of Jesus is really marked out by humility and this attitude of serving. And my question to you today is, who are you serving? You know, some of you, man, there may have been a time where you served at Grace River or maybe you served another church and you're taking a break from that. And I want to encourage you, man, let's get back in the game. Maybe 2026 is the time where you go, you know what? I'm going to get involved again. I'm going to jump into a ministry serving position. I mean, we could have you serving in 2 weeks at Grace River. In fact, you can go to graceriver.cc, /info, and we can get you serving in a couple weeks. Like, we would love to get you in the game and to help you understand the best way to emulate Jesus is to take on this idea of a servant. You know, in the life of a church, people have to move sometime at some point. You move from benefiting from the mission to feeling responsible for the mission. That is the essence of following Jesus. Is there is this time, and I don't know when it changes, but there is this time where you benefit from the mission. You come, you receive, you love our children's ministry because your kids love our children's ministry. You enjoy a cup of coffee because somebody brewed it for you. You enjoy somebody holding the door open for you. It makes you feel welcomed. But I'm telling you, at some point, there comes a place in your own journey where you go, you know what? I'm going to hold the door open. You know what? I'm going to go make that coffee. You know what? I'm going to watch and help develop somebody else's kid in Christ in our kids' ministry. Like, there is a great reward in that. But one of the greatest rewards is this. It's actually beneficial for yourself because you get to take on the posture of Jesus when you serve other people. And so I think it's important that we come to this place where I love other people through serving. The heart behind serving is loving God and loving other people. The third thing in following Jesus, what it really means is building your life with the right people. And man, I'm just telling you, I'm a testimony to this in my own life. Like, it was the right people in my life that helped me meet, know, and follow Jesus. It was the right people at the right time. And man, I cannot tell you enough how important this is. And one of the greatest ways to meet those right kind of people is actually through small groups. If you download the Church Center app today, you can go to our website to download that app, but you can go to graceriver.cc/small groups, and you can register for groups. But I'm just telling you, you will go further You will be able to go longer as a result of being able to have people in your life that are going the same direction that you're going. I'm not saying that Christian growth is impossible without being in a small group. But what I am saying is this, is that you're way more likely to grow in Christ and take great strides when you're doing it with a group of people. I said it earlier, but I mean this, man. I can inspire you in a row, but life change actually happens in the context of a circle. And within our small groups, what we do is small groups meet in homes, and most of our groups do a breakdown of the previous week's sermon. So it's a deeper dive into what we talked about with 8 to 10 questions of what we talked about the week prior. And it's a really great way to see other people that are struggling with the same stuff you're struggling with. What you're going to find out really quickly is that your problems are not isolated to just you, that we all have stuff that we're going through. And to me, what I love about small groups is I get to watch other people follow Jesus in the good times and in the bad times. And so, man, I think this is really important. In fact, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25 helps us to see the power behind working together. Look at this. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. I want to stop for a second with verse 24. Let us think of ways, that's getting creative. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Now, how much of this can you do if you're not in a small group? Well, let's break it down for a second. Let's think of ways to motivate each other. What I love about small group is that there are these moments in group where I'm motivated by somebody else. Like somebody else says something and it makes me go, wait a second, I had never thought about it like that. And what did that do? That motivated me. It's hard for me to be motivated by somebody other than the pastor if the pastor is the only person I know. And this happens in the context of small group. Also, let us motivate one another to acts of love. Man, it's important that we're finding ways to love one another. And in the context of a small group, it's way easier to love one another. And let us not neglect meeting together. Again, don't skip. Like, let's find a way to connect. And this is great because you're not skipping church right now. You're watching online, right? And as some people do, but encourage one another. You can do that in a small group, especially now that the day of Christ's return is drawing near. Like, man, we get a chance to motivate, to spur each other on, to encourage each other in good works. And one of the greatest ways to do that is in the context of a small group. And so build your life with the right people. Don't miss that. I'm telling you, that is so critical in your spiritual development, in your own discipleship. That's super important in your spiritual growth, that you're growing with other people. I've always taken next steps of my faith with other people. The fourth thing is this, is that you would live on mission with courage, that you would make a decision to say, dude, I am going to live on mission. I know what God wants me to do with my life. I know what my purpose is. I'm following his plan, his leadership in my life, and I'm living on mission. Here's what living on mission really looks like. It looks like you taking the same gospel that you once received and you share it with other people. And I know that may feel like a lot, or that may feel like virtually impossible. And I want you to know it's not impossible. If I can do it, you can do it. And so many people in our church are living on mission, and it's super encouraging to watch happen because they recognize that their job is not just a job. Their job is a mission field, right? They recognize that their neighborhood is not just a place where they live, but it's their mission field. They recognize that the other parents on the sports teams that their kids are on are not just peers and other parents. What they are is they're a mission field. And so, man, living on mission with courage, trusting God with this. And John chapter 20, verse 21 says this. Jesus says, again, he said, peace be with you. This is after Jesus resurrects, and he's talking to his disciples. I think that context is important. He says, again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. It's important that you recognize that you were saved not so you could fit in a seat. You were saved so that you could have a purpose, because God has a plan for your life. And you don't have to be perfect, right? You don't have to have a squeaky clean past or even a squeaky clean present for God to use you. It's just important that you're saying, okay, God, would you send me? fact, in a few weeks, February 28th, Saturday, February 28th, we have an event called Send Me. And maybe you've been like exploring the idea of vocational ministry and you just haven't been sure about it yet. I want to encourage you, this would be a great event for you to kick the tires on what it would look like for you to vocationally be a pastor, a church planter, a youth pastor, a missionary, a kids director, kids pastor in a church. I don't know. Like, I wonder if this would be the event where you would say, send me. Like, Jesus is saying, I am sending you. I love it because we were saved to be sent. We were not saved just so we could occupy a seat in a church somewhere. God wants to use you, but what it's going to take is you recognizing that he has a purpose, and that purpose is a mission. The mission to let everybody that you know something about Jesus. And so I got some next steps for you to consider here. The first one is this, is join a small group. Like, make a decision to join a small group. I just want to encourage you over the next couple weeks, and you can even register today. Some of these groups fill up fast, so I want to encourage you. Make sure you go to your Church Center app. You can go to our website to learn more information about the Church Center app and how to download it and all that. But if you go to Church Center app under groups, you can register for a group today. This is a great way to get connected to some Christian friends that are going the same direction that you're going, and this is a phenomenal next step for you. Also, start serving somewhere. Like I mentioned, man, I think that it's really important that we're finding a place where we can serve. And man, if you're not serving somewhere at Grace River, there's something missing there, okay? And I just want to encourage you. I'm going to press on this a little bit. You can do this. And I just wonder what that would look like. Man, make the conscious choice. Go to our website, register. One of our staff members will get in touch with you. And dude, we would just love to help you figure that out. And there is a great joy that happens when you serve God in that kind of way. And then the third thing is that you would start one daily habit with God. Like, in order for you to allow Jesus to be the one you're going to emulate, I wonder if you could just start one daily habit. Maybe it's 5 minutes every day praying. Maybe it's 5 minutes every day reading scripture. But what if you just carved out some extra time every single day to create a new daily habit with God? Maybe it's listening to a worship song in your car on the way to work. Like, there are steps for us to take, and I just wonder if you'd have the courage to take one of these steps. So I'm actually going to pray for you, and it's a cold day outside. Hopefully you're warm inside as you're watching this, and my hope today is that you take one of these steps that we're talking about. Maybe it's the step of baptism that we talked about as well earlier. Like, maybe that's the step you need to take, but I know this, man. Life makes a whole lot more sense with God than without him. So I wonder today, would you allow him to be the leader of your life? Maybe it's been a long time since you've just said, God, I'm going to be obedient to what you're already asking me to do. It's not some mystical thing. I think sometimes we think, man, I would follow God, but it just seems so complicated. It's really not that complicated. Following God just looks like a step of obedience. Like, what is it in your life that you just need to start doing today? I want to say thanks for watching online. I'm going to pray for you. And man, let's take big next steps as we meet, know, and follow Jesus here in 2026 together. Father, we're grateful for your presence in our lives, that we can know you. And God, we're grateful that we can have a purpose because of you. That because of you, God, we can actually live for more than just a paycheck. We can live for more than just our feelings and what people feel about us, but we can live for you. So God, I pray today that you would help remind every one of us that we matter and that we're loved by you. Help us to take bold next steps. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hey, God bless. We'll see you back next week at Grace River Church. 25 minutes, not bad, 26, something like that. Cool.